The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Now, our next guests have created a large animation company with offices in Dublin and Belfast. They make cartoons for Netflix, Nickelodeon, RTE, BBC and many others. Here's the kind of thing they do.
Look out the clubhouse window, what do I see? The wagtail woods just staring at me. It's a beautiful day.
Well, the creators of Jam Media are John Rice from Kerry and Alan Shannon and Mark Cumberton, both from Dublin, and they join me now. John, how did you get into animation?
I suppose an ability to be able to draw and a bit of a poor leaving cert, Richard. But
it forced you into it, did it?
A little bit. No, I always loved just the art of animation and what you could do with it, and to be able to create a kind of, I suppose, a suspension of disbelief to be able to convince an audience that you're able to, that a drawing that you've created is a living, breathing entity is tremendously rewarding.
And you're originally from Kerry and you came to Dublin to study.
I did. I came up in, 1990. To Ballyfermot, yes. It was the second year of the animation programme.
But was it easy to get a job after that?
No.
It was. I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, it was the Sullivan Blute had just recently closed down, and that was the feeder company for the college. So basically the college was feeding Sullivan Blute, which was a large, second largest studio in the world at the time, to Disney. They were on Park 8th Street there. They had about 250 people working there. And near enough to our final year, that closed down. So that was pretty much it in Ireland at the time. So we all, actually, myself and Alan, Mark, we all emigrated.
And did you meet each other in college, Alan, or was it in the States? Or?
Yeah, I met John in college, and I met Mark. He was too good for college. He only stayed 3 weeks, and then he got a job. So he wasn't in college for long. But I met John in college. We were in the same class. I was lucky enough to get taken to Paris by Disney after we ended college, and I went over there for about 8 months working on a fantastic feature called A Goofy Movie, which I'm sure you've heard of. It's actually a really good movie, but I was there for 8 months, but I kind of, bit of a home bird, so I decided to come back to Ireland, and I ended up working then with a fledgling company then called Brown Bag Films.
Of course,
so I worked with them for 7 years, Cahill and Doc and the team there, so that was my kind of intro into animation.
And Mark, what about you? Where did you meet the others?
Slightly different route, Richard. I was into college, as Al said, for about 3 to 6 weeks. I'd done some work experience in Sullivan Blute, and I ended up being offered a job because I'd done some tests. And I ended up being in Blutes for about 5 or 6 years. So I'd skipped the college and went straight to the workplace.
Now, at some point, the three of you got together and formed Jam Media. Mm-hmm. John, Alan, Mark. Alan, Mark, the JAM. Mm-hmm. Whose idea was that?
It wasn't mine, but it is Mark.
It wasn't his, because he wanted to call it Madge Media. But I think I don't know where it came from. We were all sitting around wondering what we were going to call ourselves, you know. And
but you decided to form a company.
I think we were hanging out together anyway, mm-hmm. and we're looking for an excuse to continue hanging out together that might not necessarily involve the pub.
And were you apprehensive?
Setting up
about
a company seemed like
as friends.
Good way to do that. Yeah.
Were you apprehensive about going into business together?
No. I mean, we were tremendously excited by new technology and new production techniques, and we knew that we had stories to tell, and we knew that we got on, and we knew that we had the ability to be able to tell stories. So that was really the genesis of it. Mm-hmm.
So what was your first animated film or series, or what was the first one off the block?
We experimented. So it was right before the dot-com crash, and we were experimenting back then with being able to create short form animated content, jokes effectively, that we would deliver over the web, and people would pay for the luxury of viewing them, it's only now that's kind of that
you were ahead of your time
in that way. We have a check in my office for the 2 or so years that we followed that avenue, and it's for like $2.28. Yeah, but it did allow us, I suppose, to hone these skills and to hone these new techniques. Then we realised that actually, you know, the more traditional way of actually, you know, going and pitching TV shows, ideas to broadcasters, was actually probably more of a stable way of going about it.
And it has proven to be more than stable. I mean, the business today, you employ how many in Dublin, how many in Belfast?
We've got 30 in Dublin and 80 in Belfast.
Wow, that's a big business. Mm-hmm. And you've made so many series and you've done all kinds of things. For you, Alan, which are the ones you're most pleased with?
Well, I'm supposed to say the last one that we just did, which I think is really amazing. Like the Jesse and Essie, which we're currently working on for Amazon, is like, it's really groundbreaking. And what we tend to do is we tend to kind of mix up lots of different styles, like live action, animation, 2D, CG, and, you know, throw the kitchen sink at it, you know.
And what's it about? Who are Jesse and Essie?
Jesse and Essie is about, it's all about curiosity, and it's about promoting curiosity in young kids. And it's about this little girl called Jesse, and when she puts on her magic glasses, she can see all of these amazing cartoon characters that come to life in the real world, and she befriends one of them, which is Nessie, and it's her best friend. And they ask, like, you know, simple curiosities that kids would have, like relatable kind of questions that have, like, you know, why can I see the sun and the moon out at the same time, or, you know, why is it windy today? So, and they go off and they explore those kind of curiosities, and they don't necessarily come to a kind of a realistic answer. So it's quite brave of Amazon to go with us on this, but we just wanted it to be a show more about promoting questions rather than giving definitive answers, you know.
And John, it's a fascinating time for the animation industry now. It's growing, but not least because you have all of these new potential customers, the Amazons, the Nickelodeons, Apple, Netflix. Mm-hmm. Is it all sort of new ground where everything is up for grabs?
Yeah, I think it's the new frontier. It really is. You know, I think that they have a real openness to work with, you know, international studios, with Irish companies. You know, they acknowledge that there's a real storytelling culture in Ireland, and the content that comes out of Ireland is you know, really respected, certainly in the children's space, but also in, you know, the high-end drama space as well. And you can see so many successful Irish companies now delivering to the new players, the streamers.
But because of what they're doing, and it's relatively new to them as businesses, mm-hmm. they're not carrying any baggage from how things used to be done. Like American companies saying, oh, we want American animators. They're willing to go anywhere.
No, they absolutely are. And, well, half of their subscribers are international or outside the US anyway, so I suppose they do have to cater for that. And I suppose with Irish storytelling, you know, we can kind of straddle both, you know, like from a European context and the US sensibilities as well.
But for you, is it still about getting on a plane to LA, knocking on doors and selling ideas?
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, absolutely. Pressing the flesh. It's still very much all about that. But it's now we're in a position where the doors are open for us. You know, I mean, it might not necessarily mean that we'll get commissioned or picked up, but we can certainly get the meetings.
Now, it's extraordinary, the three of you, backgrounds in animation, you meet, you decide to set up a company. What are you now, 20 years later, is it? You're still
almost, yeah.
together. the boy band is still intact.
Man band.
Yeah. The old man band.
You obviously look like you still get on.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's core. I think it's probably the friendship takes precedence over the business, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. It's more important. And we're pretty quick to resolve any kind of minor disputes that might happen.
Is that because you know each other so well? It helps?
Yeah.
It's more like a family row, is it?
Kind of is, yeah.
Yeah. We have a saying in Jam, it's not family, it's a jamly. So it's constantly used to get out of arguments as well.
Yeah. So I can hear it now. Don't tell me it's a jamily again.
I don't hear that.
And what about the different roles? You're the chief executive. Mm-hmm. Alan, what do you do?
I'm chief creative officer, and basically that's kind of quality control, you know, across all of the content and output. So I would help kind of set and maintain the creative vision for the company.
And Mark?
Yeah, it's chief operations, so it's really just the day-to-day on-the-ground business, making sure that all the parts are playing together. Train keeper.
Do any of you still draw?
Do you know, it's a very sad, sad thing. But I personally don't draw.
Do you miss it?
I do really miss it. But not enough to do it in my spare time, which is weird. But I used to love doodling as a kid, and then I in college, obviously, I did an awful lot of it, and then animating. I really loved doing that. But I suppose just, you know, with the day to day business running, and I direct now as well, and it's kind of drawing has taken a backseat.
What about merchandising? If this is all new territory for the industry, the merchandising, you know, has been around for a long time, but there are huge opportunities now on the back of the creative output to flog merchandise. Is that something that you see, and is it something that you have in the back of your mind when you're coming up with an idea?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Absolutely, merchandising has been at the back of our minds, but not at the forefront of our minds from the very beginning of Jam. You know, but we don't go and create, shows, series where we say this would make a great toy or whatever like that. But you know, it's there. What we do try to introduce into our content, into our preschool series in particular, is kind of play patterns, so that a child will actually want to, after the television experience or the mobile experience, they'll actually want to go off and reenact that themselves, you know. And that's a real kind of, that's how you create fans, you know. And it's really,
and the merchandising opportunity,
and the merchandising opportunities. Yeah, I mean, we've been in the business, as you said, Richard, almost 20 years, and you know, our first merchandising opportunity came about at the end of last year, where we entered into an arrangement with a master toy arrangement with a US company to basically commercialise Becca's Bunch, which is on Nickelodeon worldwide.
And how does that work, without telling me all of the details of that contract?
Yeah.
But basically, for any merchandise that's sold, you have generated, you own the series, is that right?
That's correct.
And then it's broadcast or it goes online, you get a percentage of the merchandise.
Yeah,
sales.
We get a royalty on that, yeah.
Is there always a hope there that you're going to hit on a Peppa Pig or whatever it is, because I presume the Peppa Pig guys have made a lot of money, Mark?
They've made a few quid, all right. Sure. ideally, I mean, we can pull out the Peppa Pigs or the Paw Patrols, and they're the big leaders in terms of merchandising, and that's what we all aspire to, and it's very profitable.
What about kids and market research? Do you have kids yourselves? Do you use them to come up with ideas? Are you listening to them?
We do. Yeah, we've got young kids ourselves, and in fact, the three of us have we'll have touch wood, three children under the age of three coming. So we've a brand new generation of preschoolers. In fact, we were just out the other day, and my wife runs a creche, so we were out doing some market research out there with with preschoolers. We were introducing a new show to them. So yeah, it's important. I don't know how much it actually informs what we do, but it's there, you know. I think we don't really look at the market either, what other companies are doing, you know. We kind of come up with an original idea. We will test it to a degree, but then we'll kind of just go at it and put together pitch materials and get on planes.
Now, this might seem like an odd question given the business you're in, but a lot of people might feel that to some extent their children, while they will enjoy cartoons and animation on the back of the merchandising and everything that goes with it, that there's an element of commercial manipulation going on, really, and they don't necessarily see it all as a good thing. The power of marketing and of corporations behind these programs now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can often come across as very insincere, and that it's more of, when you're watching, you know, a TV show, that it's more like a shop window, that they're just trying to to flog product. And I think you can see that, you know, overtly in a number of brands that are out there. We're different in that we want to tell stories first and foremost, and we want to make children laugh. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and you know, you I've often, as a parent, taught that myself.
One of the great advantages of the industry right now is all of these new buyers of material and of content, such as Netflix, Amazon, Apple coming along as well. Is there a danger for you guys, that is an independent creative house, that they like to own things? They might like to say, we really like what you do, we don't want you doing stuff for rivals and competitors. And of course, that could be very lucrative if you were signed up in that way, but it would also change the way you work.
Yeah, it would, in the sense that when we develop now, we don't develop with anyone in mind. And I think that it might just narrow our kind of, I suppose, our creativity somewhat, were we to develop and produce purely for one single entity. But you do see it happening, and you know, there's deals that are you read about that are, you know, very lucrative and
attractive on one level.
Yeah, and that are tied in, you know, for whatever period of 5 or 10 years with talent. And you know, I suppose you'd have to look at everything that comes along. Mm-hmm. But we're quite happy to kind of develop from multi. Like, so we have a great relationship with, you know, the streamers and the more commercial broadcasters like Disney and Nickelodeon.
A lot of children, whether it's in Ireland or wherever, watching a lot of these animated programs, the really big international successful ones, some people will comment that they're all developing American accents. Is that something you're very aware of? Do you deliberately try to write in characters maybe that have a different accent or are from somewhere else?
Just to take our most recent production as an example, Jesse and Nessie is kind of set in kind of a fictional version of Scotland, because Nessie is the Loch Ness Monster. So we have regional accents. We've got a Scottish guy playing Nessie, obviously, and then we've a young girl from outside London's playing Jessie. So it's an English accent with a Scottish accent, and we've a lot of Irish accents in there as well. So we're really kind of making a bit of a melting pot of...
Would you get direction on that from the television company?
This was for Amazon, and we were surprised because we thought they'd want to kind of have American accents at the forefront. Now, there's a couple of American accents in there, but you know, they're secondary characters, so you know, they're very happy for us to kind of explore and kind of inject our culture into it as well, you know, so and European I suppose qualities into it. So, but in our last production, Becca's Bunch, we did go over to New York and we sourced local kids from New York for the four main characters. Well, three main characters, and then one character is actually Irish.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you have Irish characters popping up all over the place.
We do, actually.
Whenever we can get them in
But are they Dublin or Kerry characters?
We've yet to have a character from the kingdom.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, sometimes the Americans with the execs come over and they're saying, I can't tell the difference between you and John. And I'm like, really? There's a huge difference. But to them, it's an Irish accent.
Is it a very tough industry?
I wouldn't say it's tough. No, I mean, there's sweethearts out there, really. It's we're making cartoons. But it is,
Are you stabbing each other in the back over children's programs?
Not really. I mean, I think there's a real camaraderie with Irish companies. And I think we genuinely celebrate the success of the other companies because we're all competing on an international landscape. And, you know, it's a real industry now that I think, you know, that we'll own in the coming years, so long as the supports remain in place.
Well, John Rice, Mark Cumberton and Alan Shannon, the JAM in JAM, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.